This morning, I'm going to tell you the best news I know. The best news I know is that God gathereth the outcast. Turn me down about that much this morning. Just turn me down just a little bit. A little bit of an echo. God gathereth the outcast. Most of the people in this room were at least one time in your life an outcast. Would you indulge me just for a few moments as I tell you why I have to speak on this morning? It's been over 10 years since I spoke on the west side, southwest side of the city of Dallas, my hometown. It's been over 10 years since I spoke in the neighborhood where I grew up called the Oak Cliff section. I grew up out in the south part of the Oak Cliff section, which is called Lisbon and Trinity Heights. And that's the poor section, or it was when I was a kid and still is, the very poor ghetto-type section of the Dallas area. Now, I have preached in Dallas. In fact, I go to Dallas County and preach every year in July. I've preached in recent years at the large, in fact, three times recent year, the large convention center in downtown Dallas that seats over 10,000 people, I think. But I had not preached in many years in the section where I grew up. And I stayed in a hotel just a few blocks from my roots, from the place where I grew up from the time I was about a year and a half old, until the time that I went to the Army in World War II. And so I took about an hour and a half on Tuesday afternoon, and just, they let me borrow a car, and I just drove. One thing I did, I traced my childhood all the way through. We lived in, I guess, 18 or 20 houses as I grew up. And I went through them and traced them. I went to the first one we lived in, and the second, and the third, as best I could remember all of them. And then went to the place where we lived. Most of those houses were very, very run down then. Some of them two-room shacks. Three of them just shacks with two rooms. And I guess probably a half a dozen of them torn down. Three or four others, the windows are boarded up, the doors are boarded up, and no one lives there. I drove around, and I, of course, relived numbers of things of my childhood. You know, I didn't know how poor I really was until I went back and went where I used to live. You know, when I was a kid, we didn't know we were poor. We thought everybody just ate one meal a week. We didn't know we were any different. I didn't know people. I was 12, 13 years old before I ever saw two different foods on the table at mealtime. I didn't know you could have spinach and potatoes. I thought you had potatoes for lunch and spinach for supper. I mean, I didn't know you had two meals. And I'm not seeking sympathy. I just didn't know. And I didn't know I was poor. And some of those places we used to live, couldn't believe what it was like. I went to the house, I guess the most dear house and the one with the most memories, a small apartment, three rooms. It was the place where I was called to preach, where I lived and I was called to preach. It was the place where we lived when my father left us. I went to the living room, looked in the room, where my mother announced to me that Dad was leaving. I went to the porch and stood on the porch where Dad left, where I knelt and begged him to stay and not to leave. I went to the YMCA, where I used to sit on the outside and look in, because it cost $6 a year to belong to the YMCA, and we couldn't afford $6 a year. And I went to the YMCA and remembered when I used to stand outside wishing I could go in. I went to the place where I was called to preach, and where nobody really took me seriously because I was such a They called me little Jackie boy, and I was such a little runt of a fella. And I relived my childhood and found out exactly how little God got when God got me. I went back to my room after the service that night, and I began to read the scriptures. And the one scripture that came to my attention the most as I relived my childhood was that wonderful passage. We'll not turn to it, but in Isaiah 56 and verse 8, where it says, "The Lord gathereth the outcast." And I said a while ago, I don't know any better news than that. The Lord gathereth the outcast. And I love that passage read a while ago. "And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish, and the outcast shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain at Jerusalem." Who are these people called Christians? Who are these folks who come to churches like this? Who are the people sitting in this room this morning? I'll tell you who we are. We're outcasts. Did you know the only place in all the world where outcasts are welcome is at the foot of the cross? Did you know that outcasts are not welcome? Folks that can't afford it are not welcome at the symphony concert. And they're not welcome at the lyric opera. And they're not welcome at the World Series or the Super Bowl. But thank God there's one place where outcasts are welcome, and that's at the feet of Jesus. He gathereth the outcast. I could not help but read these passages when I got back to my room. And I love this. "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound that which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things which are." I love this passage too. Listen carefully. It says, "As unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things." I know the great preachers in this country. I do not think there is a great church in this country that believes this book where I have not preached. I know most of the great preachers by a first-name basis, though I would not dare call them as such. But I know them. And you know that most of the great preachers in this country are not men chosen from the elite families of our land. They're not men chosen from the Wall Streets or the Harvards or the Yales of our country. Most of the great preachers in this country are people who, if they were not preachers, would be outcasts. I was sitting one day at a table with some preachers. Joe Boyd was there, and Bill Harvey was there, and a few others. And we got to talk about what we would have been if we weren't preachers. And Joe Boyd said, "Well, I was an All-American football player. I was offered a contract with the Washington Redskins. I probably would have been a professional football player." Then he said, "I also was almost ready to take my CPA examination and was the chief accountant for the Todd Galveston Dry Docks in Galveston, Texas. I guess I would have been a professional football player, and then I would have been the chief accountant, the Todd Galveston Dry Docks in Galveston, Texas." And somebody said, "Wonder what Bill Harvey would have been." And somebody said, "Bill Harvey would have been an actor in Hollywood." One of the most amazing men I've ever known, one of the amazing personalities I've ever known, is that of Bill Harvey. Bill Harvey would have been a Red Skelton, or I can't think of any others. Help me, some of you worldly people. But he would have been, no doubt about it, a performer. He's somebody. And somebody said, "What would you have been, Jack, if you were not a preacher?" And Bill Harvey said, "I know. He would have been the next Jimmy Hoffa. That's what he'd have been if he weren't a preacher." The truth is, I would not have been that, because God reached down and chose the simplest of the simple, and the smallest of the small, and the weakest of the weak, and the poorest of the poor, and placed that little fella as a preacher in a pulpit. And has made him today pastor what is the largest Sunday school and maybe the largest church in the world. I don't know. And has made him what little has been accomplished. God has chosen the base things once again. Again, he's chosen that which is weak to confound the wise. Again, he's chosen that which is small to confound the mighty. Again, you know, God does that. I heard Dr. Rice say one time, Dr. Rice said, "I used to worry about God. The Lord gets all the leftovers. Preachers, they're not the famous men. And I used to worry about God. And I said, God, I feel sorry for you having to put up with all the leftovers. And the Lord said, John, it's not that way because I had to have it that way. I chose it that way. But if I can call some little fella out of the ghetto and he does something for me, I'll get the glory and he won't get the glory. Oh, aren't you glad this morning that God has chosen the outcast? And God gathereth the outcast this morning. The scripture says in Psalm 47 and verse 2, he gathereth the outcast. In Isaiah 11 and verse 12, it says, he shall assemble the outcast. And in Isaiah 16 and verse 4, he said, let mine outcast dwell with thee. Do you hear that, folks? God said to his people, let mine outcast dwell with thee. Every once in a while, I'll go to some snobbish church. Just do what you want to there. Just stand up and put your coat on. Take it off. Doesn't matter. Make a speech. Sing a song. And she gets to do, she's the only one that can do that because she's a very special friend of mine. And but the Lord said, I'll choose the outcast. And the Lord gathereth the outcast. And that's what God does, this crowd this morning. We're supposed to let the outcast, the Bible says, dwell with us. God said, let the outcast dwell with thee. There are places this morning, a symbol for morning worship in this city right here, where if one of these rescue mission men up there walked in, the folks would look with pharisaical looks and he would not be welcome. He's welcome here because God tells us to assemble, let the outcast assemble with us. Let mine outcast dwell with thee. This morning, we have people that nobody else wants. The deaf back here, God bless them, they're here. And they're outcasts from society. They can... I don't know why I thought about this. One day I was driving the deaf van over in Chicago. I told you about this. I was driving the deaf van. I think I told you recently. And probably last Sunday night. And but the cop stopped me and started to give me a ticket. And I did the sign language. And he said, well, this poor guy can't hear. So he drove on. And I didn't get a ticket. I didn't tell him I was deaf. I just started doing the sign language like that, you know. And like that, I didn't say I'm deaf. I did say like that. And he said, poor guy, I can't hear anyhow. We won't give him a ticket. And so this deaf and dumb fellow, I was the deaf one. He was the dumb one. And God assembled. And this morning in this building, here's the deaf. And over here is the blind, the outcast. And over here is the retarded. And up here the rescue mission men. And the simple truth is, 99% of the people in this room are a living testimony that God chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Who are the people sitting on this platform this morning? Most of us are outcasts. Not this morning, but tonight. Elmer Fernandez will be here. Who's Elmer Fernandez? A Cuban refugee, escaped Cuba for his own life and came and went to Hiles Anderson College and then graduated and now heads the biggest Spanish-speaking ministry in the entire world. I doubt there's a Spanish-speaking church in America as big as our Spanish church right here over here meeting right now while we're meeting here. I'm saying the outcasts. Who are the pastors on this platform? One, Brother Sullivan, who's in the hospital today, was an alcoholic, stumbled into our rescue mission and got saved. You have no right to brag this morning. Anything good about you is Jesus, and anything that you've done is Jesus, and the truth is we're all a bunch of outcasts. We love to say, Dr. Jack Hiles. How about this? How about sinner Jack Hiles? How about undeserving Jack Hiles? How about fallen and depraved Jack Hiles? How about deserving to go to hell Jack Hiles? Oh, it'd be a wonderful thing this morning if all of us would fall in the dust with sackcloth and ashes and say, I deserve to go to hell. There's nothing good about me. There's nothing lovely. There's nothing I've done that I deserve. There's nothing I've received that's good that I deserve. There's nothing about me that would warrant the grace of God and the goodness of God. This morning I thought of old Dr. Ford Porter. I was rejoicing this morning in my study, thanking God that he gathereth the outcast. And I thought about Dr. Ford Porter. I was on my knees thanking God. And I wanted to hear him pray again. Oh, Dr. Porter, stand up and say, oh, God, I deserve to go to hell. And, the old man could make you rejoice and clap your hands and praise the Lord. But that's what all of us deserve to do. Who are the people sitting in this room this morning? Well, there's one lady I know, maybe two or three, who had abortions. And murdered an unborn baby, and they came to me. One of them said, Brother Hiles, I'm so sorry. I didn't know any better. I'm so sorry, Brother Hiles. I want God to forgive me. I'm not going to tell you who she is. Of course I'm not. You may be sitting beside her, I don't know, but I'm not going to, but I'm saying that God looks down and says, He gathereth the outcast. I've told you again and again about this prostitute over here in Calumet City that came to me and knocked on my door one day, and she said, I want what you've got here at First Baptist Church. I want what you've got. And I told her about the grace of God and the goodness of God. And God forgave her and saved her. And she's sitting in this room right here this morning, one of the most respected church members we have. This is not a museum this morning where a bunch of folks that never did do anything wrong are sitting here rejoicing in the fact we've never done anything wrong. Somebody say, yeah, only people down there, bunch of hypocrites. I know we're a bunch of hypocrites. Every one of us deserves to go to hell. And but the honest, simple truth is, God in His mercy looked down and saw a prostitute over here on State Street in Calumet City, and saved her and made her somebody. And let me tell you something, before you stand up in your pharisaical clothes and wrap your phylacteries around you, you yourself could have been a prostitute had it not been for the goodness and the grace of God in your life. I remember I stood this week where my mother stood here and my daddy stood here, and they walked their ways. I drove by a tavern this week where my daddy tried to serve me a bottle of beer when I was a little boy. And Mama told me to shut your mouth always and grit your teeth and not take it. I remember I drove by the house this week where my daddy came home Christmas Day, then out all Christmas Eve night. We'd stayed up all night Christmas Eve waiting for Dad to come home. He never came home. And our Christmas was ruined, and nothing to eat for Christmas dinner, and no toys for Christmas. I was a little boy. I recall my daddy coming home, and my mama, we were on one side of the room, and my daddy on the other. And my daddy said, come to me, son. And my mama said, come to me, son. And I looked at daddy, and I wanted to come to daddy because he's the strongest man I ever saw. And he was my daddy. I looked at mother, and I wanted to go to mother because she was the best woman I knew. And I wanted to go to mother. And I looked at mother and heard her say, come to me, son. And my daddy said, come to me, son. And I remember how I turned and I toddled over to my daddy. And my mother put her hands in her head and she began to cry. And I thought, the time that my daddy had taken me to taverns, listen, if I had just one time taken a drink and gone daddy's way, I could be right up here. And for the grace of God, you could be up there too. There's nothing good about you. Nothing. I said, there's nothing good about you. Oh, you say, I'm pretty. Well, God just happened to put your nose in the right place and put mine in the wrong place. That's the only difference. And you didn't decide where your nose was going to be. I guarantee you one thing. Some of you folks, if you decided, you sure have a poor choice, I guarantee you. And you didn't decide the shape of it. I'm saying there is not one good thing about you. Every one of us deserves to go to hell. But thank God He gathers the outcast. He gathered this crowd this morning. He gathered a poor, little, undeserving boy from Texas and made him the pastor. And He gathered 100 and some odd deacons. And I say that honestly, 100 odd deacons. That's for sure. And the truth is, if you knew these deacons like I know them, and if you knew their past like I know their past, you would thank God He gathers the outcast. And if you knew this choir like I know them, especially this section over here, if you knew this choir like I know them, you would thank God He gathers the outcast. Somebody said the other day, I just don't feel worthy to come to First Baptist Church because of my past. I said, good night. 90% of this church has the same past you have, or worse than that. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for His goodness and for His mercy. And thank God He says this morning, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. There's not a single person in this room this morning, I mean fallen in the depths of sin. I mean whatever you've done, not a single one. But what couldn't come this morning to Jesus and He'd forgive every sin and make you as white as snow and prepare you for heaven? I know in this room this morning, did you hear me? I know in this room this morning, 3 people who've murdered folks. I mean murderers. I mean served time in the penitentiary for it. I know them here. Right here now. Well, you say, Brother Hiles, they come to this church and they're welcome. You better know, not only are they welcome in this church, they're welcome in the family of God. And they came to Christ, and God forgave them, and God saved them, and God made them new creatures, and God gathered the outcast. And that's exactly what God has done in this room this morning. I know people in this room this morning. I talked to one lady. She's not here. She's another church I pastored. She said, Brother Hiles, you think God would want me?
You think God would want me?
She said, my mother was a wicked woman. My mother was a prostitute, an alcoholic. When I was born, I was an illegitimate baby. My mother didn't want me. She said, my mother gave birth to me and took me out. She gave birth to me by herself and took me out in a haystack and raised up the hay in the corner of the haystack and slid me underneath the haystack and to let me suffocate. And she said, somebody came by and heard a crying baby. And they reached down and pulled the hay back, and I was there. And they took me. And she said, I don't know my mother, and I don't know my daddy. And I'd be dead if it weren't that somebody heard me cry out of the haystack. She said, you think God would want me? You better know God wants you. Ah, he gathereth the outcast. He gathers the drunks and makes them sober. He gathers the harlots and makes them pure. He gathers the poor and makes them rich in Christ. And this morning, if you are here, it doesn't matter how deep you've fallen, how scarlet your sin, how wicked your words, how filthy your mind, how crooked your path, how vile your hands, how corrupt and black your heart. God gathereth the outcast. He gathereth the outcast. There in the service this morning, there are at least two or three boat people, Vietnamese boat people. And folks, I don't know about you, but I wake up at night thinking about those Cambodian people. I don't understand how we can just sit here when a nation that was the size of the state of Georgia, 8 million people, 3,300,000 have already been murdered or starved to death. I looked at little Melissa, Linda and Johnny's baby this week, and I couldn't help but weep as I stopped to think of the thousands and millions of mamas in Vietnam, hundreds of thousands, looking at their babies, and they don't have a bite to eat in Cambodia, I mean, not a bite. And they tug at mothers who have empty breasts, and they're there now. They're there this very minute. Little boys and girls lying on sidewalks with their stomachs all bloated, starving to death. You know why? I know why. The dirty, rotten, stinking communists. That's why. If you're a communist, get up and walk out. Get saved one. Now get saved. If you're going to stay in that stinking stuff, you have no right to be a member of a Baptist church. Not one. It's a free country. It's not a free country of anybody that set his mind to take that freedom away. I've got more respect for a pimp or a harlot. Not this very minute. You know who I feel sorry for? I feel sorry for God. I've told him this week, I feel sorry for him. They're his creatures. He made them. But God loves them. You folks this morning here that are boat people from Vietnam, God loves you. God loves the outcasts. The only kind of people that God really has a disdain for are people that think they're pretty good. God hates a proud look. God hates a haughty spirit. God hates a Pharisee. I'm saying God loves the harlot. I'm saying God loves the drunkard. God even goes so far down as to love sailors. If you can love a sailor, you can love anybody. Who were the apostles? Most of the apostles were outcasts that God gathered to shake and change the whole world. Who were David's mighty men? David's mighty men and David's bodyguards were Philistines that didn't pay their debts while the heathen Philistine nation were kicked out of the nation, but they came to David and got right. And David made his bodyguards and his mighty men were those Philistine men, the outcast of society. Who wrote the first five books in the Bible? Who was the man that penned the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy? Who was he? A fellow who was a little baby that Pharaoh was going to kill. And God in his mercy gave him to a little mother who was a slave lady. And that slave lady made a little kind of an ark or a box for him and dabbed it with pitch and put him in the river. and left him there. And that little slave baby with no right to live began to cry. And the king's daughter came down to take a bath, and that baby cried. And the mother instinct in that king's daughter caused her to pick that little baby up and take him back to the palace. Who is it wrote the Bible, the first five books in the Bible? Who is it? A mighty theologian who was reared of blue blood? A mighty man of valor? Who is it? A little slave boy that would have been dead if his mother hadn't prepared a little ark for him and put him in the Nile River. Who wrote most of the New Testament? An outcast. A little old Jew with eye trouble. Hated little Jew who had been a murderer and had persecuted Christians, and God saved him. Who wrote the first book of the New Testament? A tax collector who was so wicked nobody would have anything to do with him, and he got saved. Who wrote the second book in the Bible? A young man that had gotten scared on a journey and went back home and wouldn't go on the first missionary journey. Who wrote the book of 1 and 2 Peter and was the chief of the apostles? Who was it? A man that cursed and swore and denied he knew the Lord. A vile, filthy fisherman who God got a hold of and transformed him and made him the greatest Christian in the whole world. God gathered the outcast and took those outcasts and shook a whole world with them and propagated the gospel of God's grace around the world. Who preached at Nineveh? An outcast that was cast off the ship and swallowed by a whale. Who defeated the Midianites? A little outcast who was the smallest kid of the smallest family, of the smallest tribe, of the smallest nation in the world. His name was Gideon. Who was the best king that ever sat on the throne of Israel? He was the one boy whom his father thought had no chance at all to be king and put him out of the household when Samuel came to find a king. Who was it that saved the spies from destruction and thereby enabled the Israelites to win the battle of Jericho? A woman who was a harlot that God forgave and that God received, that God made one of his own dear children. Who was it who recognized the Savior in the garden after he was resurrected from the grave? Who was that woman that looked at him and said, Mary, and she said, Rabboni? Who was it? An outcast who was possessed of seven devils, a wicked, vile woman whom God forgave and made her an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Lift up your hands this morning and clap them together and sing, Holy Hosannas, thank God, he taketh the outcast. He taketh the poor. He taketh the... When Jesus stood to preach his first sermon in the synagogue in Nazareth, his text was, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. You're nobody. I don't care. You may have $10 million with your name in the bank, but you're nobody. You might be the valedictorian of the senior class, but you're nobody. You may be the most handsome girl in the whole school, but you're nobody. You may have a body that's so strong that it may make Charles Atlas look like a little anemic weakling, but you're nobody. You're just like I am. A person that deserves to burn in hell forever. But because God, in his wonderful mercy, gathers the outcast, there's hope for us. Ah, poor one who came this morning from the ghetto on a bus. Don't forget, he gathered the outcast. Ah, deaf one who cannot hear what I say this morning, and people often make fun of you because you're making the sign language on the street. Don't forget, he gathered the outcast. Ah, rescue mission men, with the past that you've got, you'd like to erase it and you'd like to wipe it off, but you can't do it, and you go to bed at night wondering what might have been. Thank God, he gathered the outcast. Oh, poor little bus kid tucked away somewhere, way back in the back somewhere, and this building looks like heaven to you. A little boy walked by the office this morning. A bunch of kids were there, and one of the boys said, who lives in there? And the fellow said, the priest does. The priest does. Ah, little bus kid, he gathereth the outcast. I'm glad about that. Alcoholic, he gathereth the outcast. Teenager who put the needle in your arm this week, he gathered the outcast. Oh, I got up on my bed Tuesday night in my room, and I clapped my hands and said, glory to God, hallelujah, praise the Lord. He gathered the outcast. See, I'm no blue blood. I saw the tree. I saw the tree that my dad used to run into when he came in drunk on Saturday night. And the neighbors would get out of bed and walk out, and somebody would say, oh, I have a wreck out of it. And my dad's car would be slammed against the tree. And dad would be staggering around there. And somebody would say, it's old Hiles, the drunk again. He gathered the outcast. I drove by the tavern where my dad was the bartender. I drove by the tavern where I walked into it one day with my Scofield Bible. My big old dad was sitting at the bar drinking. And I said, "Dad, you're going to come with me. Tomorrow's New Year's Eve. Well, this is New Year's Eve. Tomorrow's New Year's. And you're going to come with me and I'm going to preach to you." My dad cursed at me and said, "I'm not going to do it." And I said, "You're going to go with me or I'm going to have a fight you right here in the tavern." And I drove by the tavern. By the way, forgot to tell you, right across the street from that tavern, right across the street, you can take a stone and hurl it right across the street, is the Dallas Theological Seminary. My dad was a bartender 8 years right across the street. Looks like to me, while they taught Greek, they could have taught those guys that God gathereth the outcast. Looks like to me that those fellows could have gone beyond the library and gone across the street to the tavern in 8 long years. Not one time! Not once! Did anybody go across the street to that tavern and walk in and tell Willis Athey Hiles that God gathereth the outcast? Now, may I just say quickly, that means if God gathereth the outcast, God wants you. He wants you. You say, "What could God want with me?" He wants to help you. He wants to forgive you. Did you ever take some poor little kid off the street? Did you ever take him down to a shoe store? And did you ever buy a pair of socks and put over those little dirty feet? And did you ever one time take a child to a little clothing store and buy him a nice suit and put the first tie he ever had around his neck on him? Huh? Did you ever one time take a little child to a barber shop and get him his first haircut? Huh? And did you ever see him all dressed up in his new shoes and suit and shirt and tie with his hair combed? Did you ever see him? Remember that warm feeling that comes in your heart? Huh? That's the feeling God has today when one like you comes to himself. And God gives you a robe of righteousness. And God forgives every sin. And God makes you his child. And God looks down and says, "Now then, forever and ever and ever and ever, he can sing praises to me." But that isn't all. Nor does God want the outcast. But God uses the outcast. I parked in front of the church for a while where I was called to preach. It's an entire black area now, and the church is owned by a fine, good black church. But I stopped there and remembered how I used to sit in church and almost worship Joe Boyd. He was my hero. He was 10 years older than I. He was number one tackle in the Associated Press All-American football team in 1900, and I forgot what year, 40, I think. He was the heavyweight wrestling champion at Texas A&M and the heavyweight boxing champion. And I was a little bit of shriveled up, dried up, runt of a boy. I used to sit in church and worship the boy, the fella. I'll never forget the night Joe Boyd was called to preach, how happy the church was. I was almost ashamed to walk the aisle when I was called to preach. Joe Boyd was my hero. When I got in a little country church, way out in the country, the first thing I want to do is have Joe Boyd's revival. I still recall the time that I went downtown to pick him up at the bus station. He got there a little early. He was getting his shoes shined in the shine parlor next to the Marshall Hotel, Marshall, Texas. And I saw that big handsome guy. At that time, Joe was about 32 years old. You just don't know what a handsome fellow is. You see, Joe Boyd, he's 32. He sure is ugly now, but he was handsome then. Several years ago, Joe Boyd is pastoring a little church down in Baytown, Texas, running 150 in Sunday school. I met him in Dallas. I said, "Joe, why don't you get back in evangelism? That's where you ought to be, preaching revivals." And Joe Boyd said, "Brother Jack," he said, "nobody around the country knows me. Nobody around the country knows me. And I said, Brother Joe, let me schedule you up for meetings. I went back to my office and got on the telephone. I called preachers all across America, and I said, I've got a guy that I want you to help revival. I guarantee you he'll do a great job. And they trusted me. And little old Jackie Boy Hiles filled up Joe Boyd's schedule for a whole year. He doesn't need my help anymore because folks got to know him. They knew what he could do. But after I got his schedule filled for a whole year, I couldn't believe it. Me? Helping him? He gathereth the outcast. He gathereth the outcast. Thank God. Those are the thoughts I had Tuesday night after re-examining my roots. Thank God. He gathereth the outcast. He reaches out this morning. He wants to pull you to himself. He wants to pull you to himself. But you say, preacher, I'm so wicked. He gathereth the outcast. Oh, but you say, Brother Hiles, I've gone to the very depths of sin. He gathereth the outcast. Oh, but you say, I've taken my own hands and killed somebody. He gathereth the outcast. But you say, Brother Hiles, I'm the poorest of the poor. He gathereth the outcast. He gathereth the outcast. And then he said, when the trumpet sounds and the rapture takes place and the resurrection of the bodies take place, the Bible said, and it shall come to pass in that day the great trumpet shall be blown. Get this now. Who's going to go up? Outcast. The outcast. And it says, the outcast shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain of Jerusalem. He gathereth the outcast. We thank thee, Father.